I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There is one addendum, item 11B, which relates to the resignation. A resignation from the Senior Citizen Advisory Committee was previously dealt with, so that will be removed from this evening's agenda. A couple of brief announcements. On Friday, I participated in the inspection of the Royal Canadian Artillery or Army Cadet Corps, which was very well run. We're fortunate in Fort Erie that we've got a good, full, well-managed Army Cadet Corps, Air Force Cadet Corps, and a Navy League, and they all do very well and provide great opportunities for the youth in our community. This is the last meeting of the last regular council meeting of 2016, and the last meeting before Christmas. So on behalf of the council, I wanted to say to all residents, happy holidays. I hope you have a safe Christmas and happy New Year. And we'll all be back in January, refreshed and ready to go. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Butler?
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you. I have a conflict with trying to find it. Apologize.
Bylaw 140.
Bylaw 140, 2016.
That's because they are clients of yours?
That's because they are clients of mine, yes. Thank you.
And I have a similar disclosure of pecuniary interest, Madam Clerk. Peninsula Plastics is a client of mine, and that relates to bylaw number 140 for 2016. Are there any other disclosures? If not, then there are some announcements with respect to public notices of upcoming meetings. The budget meeting schedule continues on with the meeting on January the 11th, 2017, to deal with the library and EDTC budget. Again, on Wednesday, January the 25th, we'll be dealing with our general levy operating budget. And if necessary, we'll have a fifth budget meeting on Wednesday, February the 1st. The bylaw with respect to the water and wastewater budget and rates will be dealt with on Monday, January the 23rd, 2017, and for our general levy scheduled for Monday, February 27th, 2017. Those meetings all take place, the budget meetings take place at 6 p.m. here in the council chambers. There's a proposed increase in building permit fees, public meeting scheduled for Monday, January the 16th, 2017, and the bylaw will be considered by council at its meeting the following week, January 23rd, 2017. That takes us to the regional councilor report. Good evening, Councilor Annunziata. I'm sure there's a subliminal message.
Someone's trying to send a message, eh? Thank you. I'll try to keep it tight, but there has been a lot going on over the past month or so with respect to reports coming to Regional Council, with respect to initiatives that are on the horizon. So I'll try to share a little bit of that information. If anyone has questions or comments, please feel free to interrupt, and I'll try to answer them. Integrity Commissioner. So Regional Council did pass a motion this past Thursday requesting the services of an Integrity Commissioner. Now, I'm not going to go into the details about why it precipitated, but Regional Council did pass almost unanimously the use of an Integrity Commissioner. Canada Summer Games. So a report came to Corporate Services with respect to Canada Games 2021. Council, for the most part, is fully endorsing the region's bid on Canada Games 2021. There's a timeline that's been set out. In the new year, a report will go to Regional Council respecting the ask and the amount that the region may have to possibly underwrite and secure in order to get the games for 2021. Great opportunity for the town of Fort Erie. not only piggybacking on the recent investment in Bay Beach in the $850,000, but the Buffalo Canoe Club will be a specific venue site for one of the game's competitions. Great opportunity to highlight not only the investment that we're making in Bay Beach, but the wonderful shoreline that we're blessed to be a part of, and that'll be at the Buffalo Canoe Club. And again, a lot of private sector investment already going on in Crystal Beach, so hopefully this really spurs on the whole economic development of sport and games possibly coming to Niagara. Intermunicipal transit, still a very, very high priority with this regional council. The Dillon Consulting Report is almost finalized in the new year. That report will come to regional council, which spells out final recommendations with respect to delivery model, with respect to costing, with respect to where do we go from here. We cannot stress enough the importance of that report coming forward and then regional council acting on those recommendations. Planning and development, as part of our priority of creating 10,000 new residents by 2018, we did hear a couple of reports come forward. Now I'd like to share some of the details of that report. Specifically, the purpose of the report was to update the council on population growth of 10,000 by 2018. Some of the goals that we're working on as far as next step go, a business case is being put forward as part of the 2017 budget for the necessary resources to support the following council strategic projects through economic development. Number one, expedited process for development, joint economic development action plan with our lower two municipalities, strategy to improve global attractiveness, a net new population of 10,000, and a youth retention program under 35. So the results of this research project will be used by staff to ensure there is a developed understanding of Niagara's housing market while informing a future region-wide marketing strategy. Ultimately, these results should drive economic prosperity for Niagara. Piggybacking on that report, we did hear from the consultant group that was tasked with putting together some of the metrics that council will use going forward to accommodate 10,000 new residents by 2018. It was put together by PMA, and the objective of the background was to do a complete study in two core objectives. Number one, investigate the factors that drive homeowner attraction to an area, and number two, investigate the factors that drive builder and developer attraction to an area. So they went about doing it in a certain methodology: competitive market analysis of Niagara region and surrounding markets, homeowner surveys of new home buyers in the region, homeowner focus group, survey of builders and developers both active and inactive within the region, GIS demographic analysis, and development charges, property taxes, and other items. The results of that study, very enlightening, certainly the regional council, and I'm very pleased to share it with my colleagues here. Niagara region has a strong new home market that is currently geared towards empty nesters and retirees. It's probably something not new around this council table, but this one faceted market is also a liability. Immigrant population is starting to increase, so there's this need to merge resources in order to attract that global attractiveness. Price of GT homes is driving interest from commuters. We always knew that at some point there's going to be a tipping point with a GTA buy, and that's why we're seeing more commuters down this area. Niagara region has affordable housing, great value, and an enviable location with the greater Golden Horseshoe. High property taxes and weak transit are the biggest issues of attracting new home builders and new home ownership. Local developers are generally satisfied, but there is a lack of outside influence from large GTA-based builders. Low DCs is a very strong existing incentive. Low-rise land and lot availability may be an issue. So, in order to make residential development a priority, number one, expedited development, extend expediter services to residential sector. And I know we've done that here at the town. Rick Brady and the planning staff have done an excellent job of turning out building permits in a very, very respectable time frame. I know we're doing the same thing at the MPCA. We've reduced the time of putting out a building permit to 19 days. And again, the region is following suit on that, and we're trying to expedite the services of the building sector. Add residential sites to Site Finder, create a regional partnership with GTA land brokers, integrate regional and municipal DCs into one table on development website, make it easy for the developer not to investigate what the DCs are in Thorold, what the DCs are in Niagara-on-the-Lake, what the DCs are in Port Erie, what the DCs are at the region. We've got to make it very easily understandable for the development community. Create meeting spaces at regional headquarters for traveling builders to utilize. Create transit hubs around future GO train stations. The region has already invested $30 million into that GO transit plan. We're moving forward on the hub initiative. Allow denser townhomes zoning from 16 to 18 foot townhome frontages, as well as for 30 foot small lot detached frontages. Again, that's one of those issues that we're always get a little bit of pushback with respect to reducing the frontage of lots. If we want to stay competitive and we want to reach those goals of residential growth, ultimately it may be something that this council may have to look at as far as reducing the lot frontage size. Number two, create a strategy for attracting young professionals to the Niagara region. Three, create a Living in Niagara website for prospective residents to utilize. And four, integration between the differing municipalities. And again, we see that differing of priorities and certainly policies when it comes to simple things like the facade improvement program and the CIPs. The town does it a very certain way. The region does it another way. We have to create that uniformity. We have to create that predictability for the building community. So two great reports, and I'll be happy to share that with my colleagues. Some things of interest that we've been talking about probably for the last 2 years, and it's about the different acts that are up for review and possible alteration. Now, right now, the provincial house rose, and it won't sit again until February 17th. But coming in the new year, in the spring, there is two very important pieces of legislation. One is the Conservation Authorities Act. Now, it is anticipated that the next session of the legislature will include some changes to the Conservation Authorities Act. The majority of changes will come forward as guidance or regulation. Areas of legislative change will confirm the authority of municipal governments in appointing conservation authority boards, affirming the general role of conservation authorities, and confirming the regulatory role of conservation authorities. Again, some of the things that are coming through the Conservation Act may help with giving the municipalities more tools in their toolbox to deal with certain issues like PSWs, which Fort Erie has been impacted for probably the last decade. Another thing coming through in the legislature that will be affected, the Ontario Municipal Board Act. So amendments to the Ontario Municipal Board Act and Planning Act are expected. The key changes are expected to limit what is appealable, impact board operations, and expand on dispute resolution procedures. These changes may also impact committees of adjustment and local appeal bodies. So a heads up as far as what the Ontario Municipal Board Act and what changes may be presented in the new legislation coming in the spring 2017. With that, I will turn it back to your worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. Are there any questions of any members? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through yourself to Councillor Nunziata. On November 30th at 7 p.m., I attended the Niagara Falls, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Fort Erie meeting with the Dillon consultants, and I have some concerns. First off, that the link between the Niagara region and, the link between Niagara Falls and Fort Erie, the Niagara region pilot program ends in May 2017, but according to Dillon and Associates, they're not recommending any proposed route optimization or changes until 2019. So the question is the region going to continue to fund that time gap?
Sure.
I can take that question forward, but as I understand it, the region is fully committed into developing a very comprehensive intermunicipal transit system, which includes Fort Erie. Ultimately, we'll be looking to our partners here at the town to see how we tie into Niagara Falls, St. Catharines, and Welland systems. But I'll be happy to take your question forward. But the short answer is I have every anticipation that the region will continue funding intermunicipal transit, and if there's any scenario that doesn't suggest that, I'll be happy to bring it forward to you, Councillor.
Okay, thank you. In the information that was presented by the Dillon consultants that night, their option was what they called option two, which they feel best meets the diverse needs of the region, and this is kind of a hybrid system where it's the big three, Welland, St. Catharines, Niagara Falls all together, and then the region being the partner for the smaller municipalities. The one concern that I had that Dillon Consultants, actually two things that I pointed out is, one concern that I had is that they have not gone to any of the actual ridership or talking to any of the bus drivers. Admittedly so, they said they only talked to management and union bosses. So I kind of have a concern that they really are not getting the feel from the ridership for that. Just some personal feedback of mine based on what was presented and what was said. The other thing that was, there were two other things that were very identifiable. There's no link planned really between Fort Erie and Port Colborne. And there's no consideration for the growth plan laid out by the region. There were no additional stops in the later years to compensate for areas that are growing, such as Chippewa, for example, or Black Creek, or places that are going to see a higher intensification and maybe additional ridership. So just some of my feedback for that.
And I encourage you to encapsulate all that feedback and pass it on to Dillon, because they're still accepting those comments. I will be totally candid with you, Counselor. I am very, very weary of anyone that presents ridership statistics as a way of attracting a robust transit system. We know that there's a need, and if you use solely the statistics, for example, of Stevensville, if we use solely those statistics, Stevensville would probably never be incorporated into a robust transit plan. And again, I think it's important to read the 2041 report that the region put out, and it's how we go, how we grow, and how we flow. And developing a master transit plan is part of that. And certainly the feedback that we get back from Dillon Consulting is going to be incorporated in that master transit servicing plan. So again, two cautions. I don't know one public transportation system in the world that isn't subsidized to some respect. I don't think any of them are very cost neutral. I think at some point you have to recognize that the need is going to be there and you have to anticipate growth. If we base all our decisions solely on what ridership is currently, unfortunately we'd stand still. And there's a cost to standing still, especially with public transit. So I'll take your comments forward, but I encourage you also to pass them on to Dillon.
Councillor Nutt?
Nothing further.
Just to follow up on that, Councillor Nunziata, you'll know that the report didn't anticipate any increase in the money allocated towards transit between Fort Erie and Niagara Falls, let alone Fort Erie and Port Colborne. And for some strange reason, the allocation to Smithville or West Lincoln is, after 7 or 8 years, going to be higher than the allocation for Fort Erie, which to me doesn't make any sense. I raised that issue at Public Works when we were dealing with the report. It's rather shocking, particularly in view of the fact that this council is committed to increasing by fourfold the allocation that we make towards public transit and trying to make sure that we can incorporate all parts of our community into that system. So that's a challenge for you and I at the region. I note as well that when you were talking about the growth, attraction, and accommodation, that there was a concern about transit, public transit. Not airports.
Not airports. But again, let's not couch the argument that it's a one or the other. It really isn't, Your Worship, and that's the message I really want to present to this council, that we are fully invested in intermunicipal transit. We are fully invested in an economic growth strategy, and if it includes airports and our two regional airports, then that's part of the economic strategy. But we're not going to choose one over the other. We understand the importance of intermunicipal transit. But I will piggyback on your comments. So I did attend the Niagara Industrial Association AGM as well. And again, around the roundtable discussion, two biggest concerns. Number one, obviously, the shortage in skilled workers was a common theme. But again, the priority there is the cost of hydro with our industrialists and our manufacturing sector. So again, those two priorities. And as you alluded to, with respect to this study, the two biggest concerns, certainly the lack of dedicated transit.
They need to get workers to their factories.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Some of the industrialists I've spoken to think that that's a far greater priority than the airports. However, you're right, you don't have to pick one over the other, but one of them has to be a priority. And to me, ground transit is the priority. Anyways, thank you very much, Councillor Annunziata.
My pleasure.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you, we have an item on our agenda tonight under correspondence from the City of St. Catharines regarding the NPCA, and I know that our regional councillor spoke to this issue when it first surfaced a few meetings back. Back then, though, it was kind of one lone wolf, and it seems like other wolves are now joining this pack, and I think even Wainfleet has now since joined the call. I'm just wondering, as the vice chair, what is your take on what's happening and what's going to be happening next to bring this issue to a conclusion?
I could fill your ears, Councillor, with hours and hours and hours, but I will try to stay on point and be as succinct with my response as possible. Ultimately, the two motions are very, very distinct and very different. The St. Catharines motion circumvents the MPCA board, and it circumvents anything to do with this level of government to make those decisions. The Wainfleet motion, which I'm fully supportive of, was brought forward by a board member, Mayor Jeffs. I anticipate the same motion will be forwarded from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Lord Mayor Patrick Dart, who's a sitting board member, and as well as Mayor Diodati in Niagara Falls. Again, MPCA is fully committed to an open and transparent process. By all means, bring your concerns to the board, and through their deliberations, we will certainly investigate any issue. And that's the commitment we make. So we fully endorse and fully support any motion that comes forward from our partners at lower tier municipalities. But again, the argument is never a situation of we don't want to conduct a value for money audit, or we don't want to conduct a forensic audit. We need to define what the scope of that means, certainly. And what we would like to do is have an opportunity as a board and as an audit committee to find the answers that people seek. Doing end-arounds to provincial members and certainly to the legislature is not conducive to finding answers. And I'll use the same example. If someone came to me and they had a problem with Councillor Zanko, and instead of me broaching the subject with Councillor Zanko or bringing it back to this body, I instead craft a motion at the region seeking the investigation for the conduct of Councillor Zanko. There's a deference model there. Certainly, we are open as a board to discuss any issue, but by all means, bring it to the board first. So I hope that gives you some background as far as the St. Catharines motion goes and the Wainfleet motion.
I appreciate that, and I know that was a fictitious example because I've never talked to anybody that had any issue with Councillor Zanko. I'm still waiting for one. I appreciate those comments. I agree with you. I don't think it does anybody or any level any justice having this cloud hang over. So the quicker we can bring it to resolution, I think the better for all parties involved. So thank you for those comments.
Any other councillors? If not, thank you very much, Councillor Annunziata. Then that will take us to presentations and delegations in this evening. We have Vince Marinaccio and Brian Coatsworth, whom I didn't recognize. I thought it was some young fellow that was with you there. And as it turns out, you've aged much better than I have, Brian.
I'm not on the inside.
Evening.
Evening.
Good evening to ladies and gentlemen, to members of the Regional and Municipal Council, and to Your Worship, Mayor Redicott. We are representing Dominion Repertory Theatre. I'm Vince Marinaccio, Executive Director. I had to remember there for a second. What am I, anyway? Executive Director. I'm also the teacher at Fort Erie Secondary School, and some of you may not know this. I'm also teaching now at Ridgeway Crystal Beach High School.
And I'm Brian Coatsworth, and I'm the Artistic Director of Dominion Repertory Theatre. We have a proposed sesquicentennial production entitled
But We Said Please.
And it's a salute to Canadian history. We fought going to propose to you, and we had originally said that we were going to do a very, very serious, heartfelt salute to Canadian history.
Because of all the war that
we went through. Well, of course, we started to talk about it and realized that we are unique in the annals of history, is what we've achieved has been mostly because of peace. So we've entitled our show, But We Said Please.
And pass to Tim Hortons.
Yeah, pass to Tim Hortons.
All right, so overview. We're going to talk about who we are, our history, highlighted productions, and of course we're going to talk about We Said Please, the overview on that, and our timelines. So,
we're a community-based, non-for-profit theater company dedicated to advocating for the arts in greater Fort Erie area.
We were founded in 2011. And since then, we have written, produced, and performed 5 major productions.
And our mission is to write, direct, and produce meaningful and original Canadian theater with a focus on education, history, and our culture.
And of course, our goal is always to provide an opportunity for students and community members to be involved in the performing arts.
Right.
Am I doing okay so far?
So far.
Okay.
Okay, this is a really quick history of what we've done. In 2011, we were approached by Community Living Fort Erie to produce and direct and write a fundraiser. We did well. We raised over $10,000 in 1 month, and we decided to become a theater company.
From that on, we met with the Bicentennial Committee for the War of 1812, where John Johnson asked us to come up with a introduction to kick off the 1812 celebrations. Brian wrote The Lion and the Eagle, and we presented that at Old Fort Erie and sold out 8 shows, and to this day we still get requests to turn that into a production at some point.
That was in cooperation with Niagara Parks Commission. From then we joined 2013 with Canadian theater icon Sharon Pollock, who has won 3 Governor General Awards. For Sparks from a Campfire, we performed that all summer long outside at the Old Fort. Then we went to Up in a Balloon in 2013, a critically praised production, one-woman show by Karen McDonald. And finally,
in 2014, I keep on looking down here and it's up
right
there.
Yeah.
I'm old. And finally, in 2014, with support from the town of Fort Erie and some funding in association with Garrison Lowell Theater and students at Fort Erie Secondary School. Stop smiling like that. Look at him. He's making. And we put on what did we put on?
Canadian
we put on
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol. Brian played the lead. He wrote that. And he played the lead in there and directed it as well. Man of All Jack
and
of All
and that we're doing for Fort Erie Secondary School. We're directing 39 Steps for their annual production.
And that's moving along fine. Come check us out April 1st. We're not allowed to advertise.
Exactly,
2017. Some cast photos.
Yep.
You look behind you. No, don't look behind you. Production photos from Sparks from a Campfire and our poster for A Canadian Christmas Carol. You can see the amazing likeness of the fellow there was over here. And the production value. Cast photos. Around that time, around when we did the War of 1812, I was asked to speak at the Sharon Pollock a convention they had in Alberta. And the reason they asked us there is because Sharon was quite impressed with the amount of support the school system gets here in Ontario, especially in this region. And she was impressed with what happens in Fort Erie, the support at the high school level and with our community theaters. So I was asked to speak on the survival of community theaters. And I got to do that, and it was wonderful.
So get to the reason we're here tonight. But We Said Please is for Canada's 150th sesquicentennial celebration. We're writing, directing, and producing a satiric look at Canadian history and culture.
Because, let's face it, our independence was achieved mainly through peaceful means, which today is very poignant, especially with Donald Trump. But anyway.
Yeah. So if you really wanted to understand it, all you have to really think of is Monty Python. It's going to be an episodic show with original music, original dance, script.
Yeah, and if you've seen or heard about, you probably haven't seen, but you've heard about Hamilton, which is sold out in Broadway. They've really attracted the youth because they put it basically into rap,
hip-hop.
And we've got Sir John A. McDonald singing a tune.
We do a couple of things.
Don't
give it away, though.
No, you don't want to give it away.
So our proposed partners are the Town of Fort Erie.
Greater Fort Erie Secondary School.
District School Board of Niagara.
And, of course, Dominion Repertory Theatre. Advantages of partnership.
Yeah.
As many municipalities across the country are planning events, celebrations and projects for the 150th. This is our opportunity for the town of Fort Erie to support the sesquicentennial. Promote the opening, I'm sorry, that's yours.
Promoting the opening of the brand new theater, which will be right across the street.
Cultivate local arts in the area and draw audiences from the region, Ontario, and Western New York.
And to also continue to develop educational and historic productions to tour schools across Canada, which is in the future, but we're going to do it.
We're going to do it. Our budget for this is $30,000.
Secondary school.
Yes, thank you for that role. Yeah. Fort Erie Secondary School has already committed $7,500 to this project. We're looking for $7,500 in support to be one of our sponsors for this project, and we are currently filling out our forms for Niagara Community Foundation, which has a matching program of $15,000,
which would bring
give us to our goal of $30,000. How are we doing on time, by the way? Forget that one. Skip that one.
Yeah.
Anticipated revenue.
Our box office sales will go towards funding education-based historical theater production. We right now are currently researching a production which happened in truth concerning runaway slaves to the United States, the Underground Railroad, and Mohawks from Brantford.
And Harriet Tubman.
And Harriet Tubman and Joseph Brant.
Yeah. Which is pretty amazing. A lot of amazing things happen in this little town. We should be proud of, and we should show off and brag about it. Also, we're continuing our support for scholarships and honorariums.
And subsidizing costs for low-income families to participate.
Timeline.
December 2016, which is now our social media has already, advertising has begun.
Yeah. Our script, Brian's working on, he's about a quarter of the way through it.
It'll be finished in April.
Yep. And auditions will be August. Marketing print will come out in July. And our production rehearsals will start in September in the brand new high school. I'm smiling.
And performance dates, hopefully, will be November, December 2016.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, before you leave, members of council may have some questions. So this is timely because we're about to deal with our operating budget in January. So you've now put in your request. I suppose you were advised of that?
Yes.
Somebody put you up to it? Cool. Any members of council have any questions? Thank you very much, gentlemen, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That takes us then to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? If not, then Councillor Nutt, you have the resolution regarding consent agenda items.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko. The Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Butler, with respect to the Ridgeway BIA, I just had a question with respect to the Treasurer's report. I don't know if you can, if you've got that, but there was a report which showed the budget and the actuals, what have you. It was very difficult for me to follow. You have that? November the 22nd. And it's on page 2 of the minutes. Wasn't sure how to follow that.
Are you speaking of the chart itself?
Yeah, the chart.
Okay, the first chart. So she has 2016 expenses. They budgeted $10,000, for example, for advertising. The actual spend was year to date.
Yeah, I get that. I guess it was the totals that I wasn't
the totals?
Clear on how they got the totals. Not so much for that, but for the revenue side.
Yeah.
Is that something I could get clarification of from you?
I will get that
later on.
Yes, I will get that from Tracy for you.
Okay. Any other questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. That then takes us to reports. And Councillor Zanko, you have the first resolution.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council receives report number CAO 16, 2016 for information purposes.
We have this evening Ms. Bradnam here, who is going to make a presentation with respect to the update of our strategic plan. Good evening.
Good evening, Your Worship and members of council. I was asked to provide a brief presentation on the status of the 2015-2018 strategic plan, and we've done a lot in the last 17 months. So I've tried to just capture some highlights for you. The full report is included in CAO 16 as two appendices. So if you recall way back when, in early 2015, right off the campaign trail, we got together and did some strategic planning. And the first thing that council did is created a new vision. So the vision statement envisions what we want our community to be, and council developed the following vision: a welcoming, prosperous, connected community of choice. Council also developed a new mission statement that speaks to our unique purpose and contribution. The mission statement helps us clarify the practical aspects of accomplishing our vision, and the statement reads, to lead and serve Fort Erie by fostering opportunities, leveraging partnerships, and managing our resources to achieve growth. If you recall as well, when we looked at developing priority areas, we looked at three specific pieces: the impact, the opportunity, and the capacity to implement any goals or initiatives that we developed. And council looked at the following three areas as priority areas, or pillars as we like to call them as well: a prosperous and growing community, effective sustainable infrastructure, strong customer service, relationships, and communications. It's important to note that those aren't the only things that we're going to focus on over the 4 years. We looked at many areas. And we do, you know, continue to move forward with operational things day by day. But these were areas that council felt they should focus on during their term, and where the organization will allocate any discretionary time, energy, and dollars. So it's essential that the momentum of the strategic planning process not be lost or overshadowed. So what council chose to do is to have council champions for each of the three pillars. And they worked with key staff to ensure that momentum carries on and strategic objectives and key initiatives are implemented. So for priority A, a prosperous and growing community, we have Councillor Butler and Councillor McDermott as the council champions. And the mayor actually participates on each of the three pillar areas. So this the strategic objectives that we confirmed to reach this goal, there were five of them, and I haven't listed all the key initiatives under those to try to keep it brief. So we developed improving the municipal development team process to attract private investment and expedite key projects, achieve senior government commitment on key projects and policies, develop and implement an effective integrated waterfront and tourism strategy, engage local business and growth opportunities, and attract post-secondary programs. So as I said, I'm just providing a few key highlights, and each goal is further key initiatives that are included in the full admin report. To date, as far as the development team process goes, we also call it the rapid response team, we have developed a process flowchart that identifies pre-consultation requirements, approvals, studies, everything a developer needs to know to move them through to the application stage. And we have actually put that into action on a number of key developments, and it's worked very well. We've also looked at other ways to move the bar on this goal, and they include statistical reports that council receives that has shown tremendous growth. The Planning and Building Department puts that out quarterly. The EDTC and town staff have worked on the industrial land strategy, working together on the preparation of this strategy in order to determine what type of industrial properties are available in town, what servicing exists, and the cost for servicing land that has been identified as having potential for growth opportunities. This strategy should be finalized in the new year. The second goal, and you can see, I don't know if Regional Councillor Nunziata, if you're in that picture or not, but that's part of the GO, one of Council's key initiatives under achieving senior government commitment was making sure that we support GO Niagara fully. And we actually have in one of our infrastructure pieces, too, that we would like to be a hub. So keep that in mind, especially Stevensville. We've talked a little bit about the Black Creek area as being a hub.
Mayor and council, some council members, together with the CAO, also participated at AMO, the Association of Municipalities of Ontario Conference, in 2015 and 16, and they met with various ministries, including the Ministry of Transportation, the Minister of Tourism, the Minister of Economic Development and Trade, and in 2015 also with the Minister of Natural Resources. The mayors also met with MP Badaway and MPP Wayne Gates to provide updates on key projects and concerns such as border congestion and healthcare. And the mayor also worked with other Niagara border mayors on a joint letter to the federal government regarding the impact that border congestion has on both countries' economies. Under Goal A3, developing and implementing an effective integrated waterfront and tourism strategy. So early on, planning staff came to council and said, can we just work on the waterfront strategy right now? We've had such great success with Bay Beach Master Plan and that momentum. And so we're actually almost at the end of that strategy, and that will identify opportunities for the creation of new destinations and enhancement of existing destinations. The town was really excited to hear that we were successful in the $850,000 funding application to the region under the Waterfront Investment Program for improvements at Bay Beach. And I understand that there's only $1 million in that fund, and the town received $850,000 of that. So that goes to all of you as council and to you, Regional Councillor Annunziata, for your support, continued support on that. That funding will go to property improvements, including washrooms, kiosks, a multi-purpose event square, pedestrian terrace, and a children's play area. Engaging local business and growth opportunities will also lead to a prosperous and growing community, and we have had neighborhood and secondary plans completed for three of the downtown cores. We've also had CIP funding for facade and residential intensification now in place for the three downtowns, and the town has committed $300,000 in funding, and the region also reimburses us for half of that, $150,000, and to date we've had 28 project agreements executed, so that's great. There's a picture up there of trail sides, and then down in Midway is the Fate Salon and Atrium Spa on Jarvis Street. So it's great news. We've also entered into an agreement, servicing agreement, to allow future expansion at Safari Niagara, and staff have participated in the Chamber of Commerce trade shows. We have a great working relationship with the Chamber of Commerce, and we've also hosted the Business After Five for Habitat for Humanity as well. And the last one in this section is attracting post-secondary programs. So as you know, a lot of this strategy would rely heavily on the CMS project and their partners, which to date include Niagara College, Brock University, University of Ontario Institute of Technology. But the town also has to look, when they look at post-secondary programs, also the ARC review, the accommodation review that was undertaken by DSBN, and a lot of those buildings that have been left vacant, and how we can rework those and reuse those. And the former Rosetten Public School, there's a picture up there. You can kind of see Councillor Butler and Councillor McDermott in that picture with the Chinese contingency that actually have made that school into a Montessori school, which will include dormitories. We also are very, very fortunate to have the new John Brandt Elementary School in Ridgeway and the Greater Fort Erie Secondary School. So even though it says post-secondary, I think if you just even say attract educational programs, we're moving forward on that. So the second pillar, effective sustainable infrastructure, I have Councillor Nutt and Councillor Luberts as the champions, and as well as with the mayor. And the five strategic objectives there continue to address the infrastructure gap, leverage partnership opportunities with the regional, federal, and provincial governments, adopt improved technology to deliver efficiencies, monitor, anticipate, and adapt to emerging regulations and opportunities, and continue to address the need to expand our intra and intermunicipal transit. So the first one, continue to address the infrastructure gap. Just want to give a little bit of overview for people that are listening in. In 2016, the majority of capital projects were based on replacement, rehabilitation of existing infrastructure, including Catherine Street service improvements, Highland Avenue reconstruction design, Mack and Courtright Street water main and sewer replacement, LED street lighting replacement, Thunder Bay drainage improvement, Stanton Street reconstruction design, Buffalo Orchard Avenue water main replacement, Daytona Drive reconstruction, Waterloo sanitary sewer design, Ridge Road South, Matheson Avenue, Hershey Street water main, and Crystal Beach Drive water main replacement. I haven't highlighted that up there, but I just thought it was important for people to know that we're doing a lot. Even though it's day-to-day, it's still a strategic to try to address that infrastructure gap. In 2016, our director of corporate services had a great idea because a lot of us were working on grants in our own little pockets, and he thought it would be great to have everybody come together as a team. So our grant oversight team was established, and we look at maximizing funding opportunities, and a report recently came to council on that. Our Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund provides formula-based guaranteed stable funding for capital works based on our asset management plan. So we have completed that plan, and our allocation in 2016 was $272,000. That was applied to Catherine Street. And in 2017, our allocation will increase to $489,000. And what we've been notified for 2018 is close to $700,000, and by 2019, just over $1 million. So it's not just us looking at the infrastructure gap, it's also the province that realizes they need to put some funding in as well. Also introduced in 2016 was a top-up application-based component for the OCIF funding, and the town has applied for the maximal eligible funding of $816,000 to fund a portion of the Highland Avenue reconstruction project. The Clean Water and Wastewater Fund as well, $1.72 million in funding that will go towards Battery, Murray Street, Dufferin Street, and Winnemute Street sanitary sewer replacements. And council should also be commended on committing $800,000 in additional capital reserve funding for infrastructure in 2016. Leveraging partnerships with the region, federal and provincial government. So $1.3 million the town has received so far from the region for combined sewer overflow funding since 2014. The Emerald Ash Borer, you know, has devastated our trees here. 3,500 ash trees have been affected. And there's a picture there with the mayor and some youth planting trees in a local park because we were the recipient of $25,000 in funding from CN Eco Connections from the Ground Up program. We also continue to work with the Niagara Parks Commission on several key projects, such as the MPC Marina, and have also partnered with the MPC on a $250,000 grant request from the Ontario Municipal Cycling Infrastructure Program, and we were successful in that funding request, which will help complete the trail along the Niagara Parkway. We continue to work in collaboration with the Region of Niagara on many key projects, such as the Central Avenue Bridge. So there was a $16.9 million project in our town. The Dominion Road reconstruction, scheduled for 2017, is another $18.6 million project that the town will receive the benefits for. And in 2017, the Bowen Road QE overpass is planned for reconstruction by the Ministry of Transportation Ontario. So staff have been working with them as well. Adopting improved technology to deliver efficiency. So I remember when we were doing the strategic planning, I think Councillor Lubbers was in my group, and we talked about, how do we kind of tap into those new technologies and bring them back from our conferences or conventions or something we read into the town and actually improve. LED streetlights is huge. It's, our ability to provide an efficient, environmentally sensitive solution to energy issues and long-term cost savings to the municipality. And we now also have the ability for residents to actually report outages online, which is kind of neat. They can just go in, put it in, and staff get a work order right away. So it kind of stops that calling and follow-up. It goes right into a work order. We also have a valve book mapping project underway and a new valve turning machine. The ongoing residential meter exchange for the smart meters is ongoing. We've also implemented annual ash tree injections for selected trees and parks, and we have a sidewalk grinder in service to reduce exposure to trips and fall claims. We have asset nav software that's being applied to the asset management plan and 10-year capital program for priority setting. HVAC technology upgrades at facilities to realize utility savings, installation of GPS on town vehicles to improve response to snowplow inquiries, and a lot of our staff out in the field, our fire prevention officers and our building inspectors now have laptops or tablets that they're using in the field, so they'll be able to complete real-time customer service requests, in the case of some of our operational staff, weather monitoring, in case of our building staff, electronic form completion. So that's moving forward. And monitor, anticipate, and adapt to emerging regulations. I'll just read them off the screen because my wording is quite lengthy here. So we did update the Waterworks bylaw. We hadn't done that since 1994. It had kind of been piecemeal every year. We just add to it. So in 2016, a full rework of that bylaw. We also have the sewer bylaw and consolidated traffic bylaw coming forward in 2017. The Safe Drinking Water Act, required that we had put in place a drinking water quality management system. So, you know, anticipating that emerging regulation, we also hired a quality management system coordinator to assist with the legislated audit requirements for that team. Again, the Board of Mayors letter to the federal government, that's trying to make sure that we have in place more border guards when we have peak times. And engineering staff provided comments on the review of the minimum maintenance standards for municipal highways through the Ontario Good Roads Association. The last one in this group, as I said, the town has been very supportive of the region's Go Niagara initiative. Final phase of the study that the region is presently conducting will support the introduction of the two-way GO train between Niagara Falls and Hamilton, and I know Regional Councillor Nunziata spoke of that a little bit earlier. My notes say that the study is targeted for completion in the summer of 2017, and as we said, just keep us in mind for that hub to Niagara. And as Council is aware too, the transit study was completed by Transit Consulting Network in 2016. They looked at the transit needs and conducted a route realignment analysis to provide options for our conventional transit. Council directed staff to undertake the implementation of the plan subject to budget deliberations and to initiate the plan to design, indicate locations, and install capital on-street bus stops to enhance service. The study included consultation with five stakeholder groups, and I know maybe different than the region, than the Dillon, we did actually have riders that provided a lot of comment, and I know Janine worked with Carla to make sure that we had survey analysis done as well, and we got a lot of great input on that. And prior to that study being done, the Accessibility Advisory Committee and the Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee actually conducted audits of the bus stops and shelters ahead of time. So last year, Council actually gave $50,000 towards that before the study was done. So we've been very proactive on that. And Carla gave me some data because she's down in sunny Dominican or somewhere. In 2017, the town will receive $149,000 from the Provincial Transit Infrastructure Fund. I believe that's a new fund, PTIF or something. And $17,000 from the region's Public Realm Fund will also assist with bus stops and shelter improvements. So that even, you know, a lot of these goals and initiatives kind of intermingle with each other. And so that one there, you know, you're working with your stakeholders, so and plus you're addressing the needs. So, you know, they all seem to overlap a lot. The town also receives provincial gas tax revenues based on 70% ridership and 30% population. And in 2016, our allocation was $268,900. The Fort to Falls intermunicipal transit connection was renewed until April 2017. So I was glad to hear Regional Councillor Nunziata say tonight that they're hoping that this new study will reveal a governance model that works for everyone, so that's great. And Carla gave me the stats for 2015. Fort Erie Transit reported 47,558 passenger trips, and the service Niagara Falls Transit cross-boundary buses served 8,805 passengers. So our last pillar, strong customer service relationships and communications, and under the third priority area, Councillor Zanko and Councillor Passero are the council champions together with Mayor Redekop. And we came up with four objectives, create and communicate a customer service plan, create and implement a corporate communications plan, expand and improve connections with internal and external partners, stakeholders and agencies, and promote and sustain an engaged town workforce. So under Goal C1, create and communicate a customer service plan, we've drafted a plan that captures client service implementation initiatives and CSI standards, which is our client service implementation team, frontline team. We did those quite a few years ago, standards for phone, email, mail, walk-in, and the customer service relationship management tool, which is our way of tracking complaints and making sure that any work orders are done. So we have a tracking mechanism for that. Directors are overseeing the status of any outstanding requests. Customer service study was conducted for planning and development processes, and that led to an addition of a plans examiner and a senior building inspector that's allowed for building permits to be completed within the 10-day window for complete applications. We also undertook an organizational review conducted by Strategy Corp, which included key findings related to strong customer service, and recommended the creation of a customer service division under a new community services department. The review also recommended a strategic operational review of fire services, which will be conducted in early 2017. Goal C2, create and implement a corporate communications plan. Well, the first thing to create a communications plan is you needed a communications person, so we hired Janine in January. She started, and one of her first duties was to draft a communications plan, which is now in the implementation stage. She's also created a monthly e-newsletter, and administrative reports to council now include a heading, communicating results, which provides details to council on how information or action will be communicated to the public. And the coordinator is working presently with corporate services to communicate the 2017 budget process, including an enhanced website and community posters. And if you haven't had a chance to look at that webpage yet, it's great, especially if your residents are asking you questions about the budget. It really lays everything out really well. So she gave me some data, so we put together this slide. So stats from June 1st to November 30th, 2015 versus 2016. So the website, the traffic has increased, the engagement, traffic and engagement increased by 26%. The website page reviews have increased by 11%, and the number of new visitors who found website using organic search or Google increased by 27%. When you look at the blog, which I know when Kelly Davis was doing it, you know, it was he would get a few news releases on there, but Janine's really taken that over, and you can see by the numbers the increase in traffic, 196% on the blog site. The engagement increased by 254%. The web page reviews increased by 198%, and the website search increased by 160%. So those big numbers. I don't know if you can see in my Twitter bird there, we have 3,594 followers on Twitter. The Facebook, the numbers are within a 6-month period, and they have increased the likes by 13%, posts by 20%, and Fort Erie has the third most likes in the region behind St. Catharines and Niagara Falls. And the e-newsletter has approximately 400 subscribers within a 3-month period, and the e-newsletter open rate is 65%, which is 42% higher than the industry standard. And goal C3, expand and improve connections with internal and external partners, stakeholders, and agencies. I wish I could have put some pictures up here because I know we had a lot of great pictures from the Fort Erie Rocks Volunteer Recognition Award, which was in collaboration with the Communities in Bloom Gala event. The AAC 10th anniversary event we celebrated during National Access Awareness Week this year, and we had funding from the province, from the Accessibility Directorate, from the Joint Accessibility Advisory Committees in the 5 smaller municipalities, and from St. Catharines Advisory Committee. The GFest Community Theater, a fundraising event, Hollywood North, that was a great success. I missed it, unfortunately, but a great event as well. Canada 150 Mosaic, we did get funding for that for the Niagara Community Foundation, so I'll be developing some information in January, February about that. I would have liked to have talked to Vince Marinaccio when he was here about making sure that we get that group involved as well, because there's going to be 400 mosaic tiles that are going to join for a big Canada 150 Mosaic that will join with other Canadian cities. Habitat for Humanity Build, we participated in that, and Council did provide funding to them as well. And the Flores family, I believe this week they get into their new build, so that will be great. I'd mentioned earlier about the AMO delegations, and Council has also reached out to the opposition leaders, and visits are being planned for early 2017 as well. We also have a mutual aid agreement for emergency protocol that we've put in place, and emergency medical tiered response agreement was entered into with the region and Niagara EMS. We mentioned the GFest up there for the theater fundraising, and that's going to be the $3 million community theater in the new high school. And I'm not sure if you're going to have another party on the patio this year. If you are, let me know ahead of time so I can mark my calendar. That would be great. And I think that's it for that page. And the last slide, promote and sustain an engaged town workforce. So I mentioned earlier the org review that was conducted, and implementation began March 1st this year. We've used webinars more frequently, and that has helped with in-house training to limit travel expenses and high registration fees. And there's been a number of initiatives required for cross-departmental planning, such as the 150th anniversary, where we had the museum work with our staff here. The asset management planning was across pretty well every department, and the grants oversight team that I had mentioned earlier. Annually, we do the Safety and Service Awards Banquet, and I think it's really important to note that in 2017, we'll be celebrating 410 years of service. So we acknowledge and recognize staff on a five-year increment basis beginning at 15 years. So trying to put that in perspective, how many staff members we'll be acknowledging this year is going to be great in 2017. And so that, in closing, I just want to congratulate council and staff for the tremendous amount of work that has been completed during this term. By taking ownership of each priority area, council champions have led the planning sessions, which have allowed the goals to move forward. And I just want to remind council that it's not a strategic document. You know, it's continuously moving, continuously evolving and changing. And I'll just leave you with this quote from Sir Winston Churchill. However beautiful the strategy, you should occasionally look at the results. Done tonight.
Thank you very much, Ms. Braddon. And
you didn't cut me off.
You're still going? No, I didn't cut you off. You exceeded your time marginally, but you did warn us that you would be lengthy. And thank you personally for your involvement in the development, the implementation, and the monitoring of this strategic plan, because it's very important for council and it's very important for our community. So thank you. Do any members of council have any questions of Ms. Braddon? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Not a question, but just a comment. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for your presentation and disseminating the information on our behalf. But you mentioned that we did a tremendous amount of work, and really I want to repay the compliment back to you, because, as the Worship says, you do a tremendous amount of work and you keep us organized, and your presentation is beyond reproach there. And I did want to also mention that Party on the Patio, Fire and Ice, is going to be on May 20th, and I've already bought the champagne.
Ah, fire and ice. Good to know.
Does it keep champagne that long? Shouldn't we be drinking it now? I wonder. Any other counselors? Ms. Bradham, I just had one question. What is the status then of the Canada 150 Mosaic that you had referenced?
So we do have the funding for it, and the dates that they've chosen for us to have the workshops are between June 7th and June 10th. They're trying to work it out, because I think Lincoln and one other community in the Niagara area have some of those dates. So I was trying to get it done before July 1st so we could have an unveiling prior to Canada Day.
And do we have a location for the Mosaic, or is that a secret?
It's going to be, as far as I know, still in the Leisureplex somewhere.
So. In the atrium?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, Councillor Zanko has put on the floor that we receive this report for information. Are there any further questions or comments? If not, then all those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Before we go to the next item, I did want to permit Councillor Butler to make reference to her other pecuniary interest. And yes, Councillor Lubberts has to leave, so I know you've got personal matter that has to be attended to, so you are excused. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, conflict to report number 142-2016 under consideration of bylaws number 14, as I do business with the Blythewood Homes.
Thank you. So that takes us then to the next report, which is the council meeting schedule. Councillor Passier, you have a resolution?
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council receives for information revised report number COS-09-2016 regarding the 2017 meeting calendar, and establishes the Council meeting dates for 2017 as set out in Appendix 2 attached thereto.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that? Councillor Becerra.
Thank you, Your Worship. We had held this over so that we could have some more dialogue at both our strategic planning meeting as well as our corporate and community services meeting. And although that's the recommendation tonight is to maintain the same council schedule, there were a number of great recommendations that did come forward about trying to stock balance the reports that we received specifically regarding how we handle public meetings. And I know that the clerk has done some work previously that allows us to set, that has allowed us to set the stage for what we're going to do, and I think going forward in 2017 we'll notice more of a balanced work schedule amongst both our regular council and council and committee meetings, and we look forward to working with planning staff to implement those steps.
Thank you. Were there any other comments? All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to the Gilmore Road unopened road allowance resolution. Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that Council authorize the stopping of, closing, and sale of part of the Gilmore Road unopened road allowance between Concession 10 and 11, Lot 5, Bertie West of Farm Road, to the applicants Joseph and Cynthia and DePhillipis for the price value of $15,100 plus HST. And further, the council directs that the sale be subject to the applicants being responsible for all associated costs, including completion of a reference plan and the land legally merging into title with the applicant's abutting property. And further, the council directs staff to submit a bylaw to authorize entry into an agreement of purchase and sale with the applicants once the reference plan is completed.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. Madam Clerk, before we move forward with questions or comments on this, we would have to waive the land sales policy, would we not, in order to do this?
That is correct, Your Worship.
Should that not then be part of the resolution?
That could be an amendment made.
Yeah, I think, Councillor McDermott, I wonder if you and the mover would be prepared to add that to your resolution, that the council waives the land sales policy in order to proceed with this resolution. So that'd be part of your resolution, and the seconder was, who's your seconder? Butler? Councillor Butler, you agree with that? Okay, so that recommendation is on the floor for questions or comments, and Councillor Butler, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Your Worship. At our last meeting, we were supposed to, sorry?
Go ahead. Oh,
at the last meeting, we had asked to find out what the cost of the tertiary septic bed was going to be. Did we get an answer for that?
Yes, we did. There was there's a memo attached, and it ranged from $6,000 to $8,000, I think, and I believe that Mr. DePhillipis also provided us with some information indicating that he had been advised to be about $5,000 to $6,000 per year. Plus, on top of that would be the annual maintenance fee, which range from $200 to $600, depending on who obtained the quote.
Didn't get that memo. I didn't see that memo. I apologize. So then the cost, the extra cost would be $6,000. Did you say
Mr. DePhillipis said that he got a quote of $5,000 to $6,000.
$5,000 to $6,000, and then to maintain it on an annual basis, that's just to empty the bed.
Has to be emptied and monitored, and his quote was $500 to $600 a year, and the staff got a couple of quotes that indicated it could be between actually $300 and $400 a year.
So really that cost is no different than if I had my septic, which I do. I have a conventional septic bed, and I have it pumped, and it costs me roughly around $250 to $300 a year as well. And then the split of the parcel would save him, if it's $15,000, and we were to compromise and split that parcel between the two parties. And if that parcel was $15,000, the savings would be $7,000, which would be actual $6,000 towards that tertiary septic bed. Where do we stand on that? How do councillors feel about that?
We can ask other councillors. Any other councillors feel anything about this? Councillor Zanko, you sort of somewhat feel something.
Well, I do feel sorry for the applicants because they've spent a great deal of costs already and time investment, and to learn that there's going to be additional costs, annual costs, and from the report, it seems like there's additional maintenance requirements that will now be in place as of January 2017. So I do feel for the applicants.
Yeah, just for clarification, Councillor Butler, I believe that according to the information we received, the pumping has to take place regardless of the system, but there are annual costs associated with the tertiary system over and above just the pumping. So that's the way I read it. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Okay. The one thing that I'm in favor of selling to the D. Phillips, what shocked me was the additional information that Mr. Hayworth was able to provide in the memo that stated the additional cost that he would have to continually submit samples to the region and would have to bear that cost as part of a tertiary septic system. So I'm in full support of the staff recommendation and moving forward with selling all the land to the D. Phillips.
Anyone else want to chime in? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm of the same mindset as Councillor Nutts. The other thing that concerns me in reading the memo is that it seems each year the region decreases the number of tertiary systems that they will allow on a property. And we went from 10, there's only 4 scheduled now for 2017, and although that is an option to the applicants, I'm worried as to what the region may do in future years as far as additional maintenance costs or additional studies, and I just don't know if I'm prepared to force the applicant to put that type of system in, given the history of the region and already attaching all of these add-ons to that type of process. So I'll be supporting the recommendation as it originally stands, and I thank staff for this additional information. It definitely did help me in my deliberations.
Any other councillors? Mr. Butler, back to you.
No further questions. Thank you.
Okay. If there are no further questions or comments, I'm going to call the question with respect to the resolution. I'm calling that a friendly amendment. Would you like council to vote on that, or is that okay? So it's a friendly amendment, so it's part of the resolution that this that land sales policy is being waived to accommodate the resolution. All those in favor of the resolution? Opposed? That is carried. Madam Clerk, we will notify the De Phillips.
Certainly, Your Worship.
I would think it would be courteous to at least notify the spouse as well.
Certainly, Your Worship.
That takes us then to report PDS 107. And Councillor Lubert had that. Did he hand that resolution off?
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council receives report number PDS-107-2016 regarding proposed amendments to the Deerwood Lane Draft Plan of Condominium for information purposes only, and further that Council directs staff to present a report on the proposed amendment to the Deerwood Lane Draft Plan of Vacant Land Condominium at a future Council and Committee meeting with the recommendations following the public meeting.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Nutt and then Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd just like to thank staff for putting this report together, especially the attachment one, as I was able to go out and visit the site, and it helped just with the drawings on the proposed flow of where the water will go. And I just wanted to thank them for the additional information.
Thank you. Councillor Passero.
Your Worship, the same comments. Thank you to staff for providing me the first drainage plan I've been able to actually read and comprehend in 6 years. And I think a page like this could be part and parcel to future reports to Council. It gives you a layman's view of what the strategy is. Thank you.
Councillor Bashir, I'm just told that you like blue arrows pointing in different directions. I don't know if that's true. Any further questions or comments? The only comment that I would have, Mr. Brady, is that we did also ask for some information about elevations regarding the units. That's not available right now, but I would hope that when we get the report that's going to come back to council, that there will at least be some type of preliminary concept plans for us. So they will be available at that time. Okay, thank you very much.
Mayor, if I might?
Yes, you may, Mr. Brady.
Thank you. Yes, there will definitely be elevation plans, and they'll be detailed, and they will be to the satisfaction of staff. I'm not sure if Mr. Kendall's aware of this. The ones that we received still require some further work, and I'm going to make a commitment to council that there will not be a recommendation report on this matter until we have elevation plans, which are clear, and will provide that the kind of information that both Councillor Becerro has noted are clear and understandable to the council.
Thank you very much. If there are no other questions or comments, I'll call the question on the resolution. Sorry, are there more questions? Oh, okay. You looked rather menacing. You had your game face on to vote. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to new business and inquiries. And Councilor, we have a number of resolutions. Councilor McDermott, you have the next resolution regarding Mary Hesser.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Butler, that Council accepts the resignation of Mary Hesser from the Fort Erie Public Library Board, and further that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Are there any questions or comments? Yes, please, Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to comment again on what a pleasure it's been working with Mary Hesser for the past couple of years, and she's just an amazing woman, and in the event that she's watching, I just wanted to thank her again for all of her service.
Yes, thank you very much. That's certainly well deserved. If there are no other questions or comments, all those in favor, got a bunch of resolutions that we'll deal with. All those in favor of the resolution regarding Mary Hesser, that is carried. Councillor Butler, you have a resolution with respect to Nancy Nisnik.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, the Council accepts the resignation of Nancy Nisnik from the Ridgeway Business Improvement Area Board of Management, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Becerro, you have the next resolution regarding Jessica Carthew.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council accepts the resignation of Jessica Carthew from the Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee, and further that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Are there any questions or comments? I think it should be clear to the public in particular, when they see some of these individuals that are resigning, it's for a variety of reasons, but in many of them, such as Nancy Nisnik and Jessica Carthew, it's because they're so involved in many other things in the community. And there comes a point where you've only got so much time that you can allocate to things other than your family priorities. And that's, I know, one of these, as I'm sure with Nancy and the others that we're going to be dealing with. I'll call the question then with respect to Jessica Carthew. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Becerro, you have the next resolution regarding David Pantano.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council accepts the resignation of David Pantano from the Accessibility Advisory Committee, and further that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Any questions or comments? Councillor Becerro.
Thank you, Your Worship. This was David's second stint with the committee. We were very fortunate. He's one of the longer-serving members. His father also served as an original member on the committee as well. And unfortunately, we have lost David to the city of St. Catharines. So their AAC committee's gain is definitely our loss. So thank you to David for his service.
It was actually very heartwarming the other evening at the last meeting of the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting to have David there, because as you say, Councillor Becerro, he was involved very many years ago when he was a young lad. He's now completed his university education. He's a very intelligent, very accomplished young man, and he will be very successful. It's unfortunate that he's not here, but he's pursuing a dream, and we wish him all the best. All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Becerro, you have the next resolution regarding John Felucewicz.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council appoints John Felucewicz, effective January 1st, 2017, as a beachcomber to the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to Councillor Nutt. You had a item of new business?
Yes, actually, an inquiry last week to follow up on Councillor McDermott's request for an update on CMS. It's my understanding that the CAO was able to meet with CMS.
He was, and there was a request that Mr. Muhammad come out to a council meeting. Mr. Cookett.
Yeah, through your worship to the councillor. I did meet with Mr. Muhammad last week, invited him to do a status presentation to council. He said he would do that in January, probably late January, early February. He'd be happy to come and answer any questions council may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cookett. If you could just pass along, I've been getting, again, a high volume of questions from constituents, the community, and they're just looking for an update. So the sooner the better would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, you'll pass that on. Thank you. Any other new business? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I was wondering if somebody could tell me if there is a possibility of establishing a banner in the downtown core of Jarvis Street. We have a banner that we can put up, the structure that we can put up a banner in Ridgeway, but we wanted to know if there was a possibility of being able to put banners up in the downtown core of Jarvis Street. You used to be able to with Canada Post, being a private facility, and then going on to another private facility. And I'm just, and I'm just, because there is a need for it, I'm just wondering if there is a possibility to have those kinds of discussions with those landowners, or if we can put up a structure ourselves. And actually, the region does that as well, doesn't?
Well, that wouldn't be a regional road, so I don't know what jurisdiction they would have there. That would be, that's a municipal road, and I don't know whether, you've got two facets to your question. One, whether it can be done simply utilizing municipal property, and if not, is there a possibility to do it utilizing the private properties on either side of the road? Mr. Walsh, do you have any insight into that? And if at this point you don't, maybe you could look into that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's certainly possible we can erect a couple of structures. We'd have to put a minor budget together for it, and I'd rather keep it on new poles rather than attach it to existing buildings just out of liability purposes.
Well, we actually just did a tour of Jarvis Street, of the Bridgeburg BIA, and I would think that if that's an issue, they might want to put that on the list that they're going to be providing to us to be circulated among the staff. There are a variety of issues that they had addressed. I came late to the meeting, so I don't know if that was one of the issues or not.
That was not an issue raised by them. It was an issue raised by Ridgeway because the usage of banners is predominantly just in the Ridgeway core, which limits their use of putting up signage and announcements. So we thought if we could have a secondary location, that might alleviate any of the, I guess, well, the swath for banners.
That would be a perfect opportunity for the Bridgeway BIA to dialogue with the Bridgeburg BIA, because I would think that since it's their business improvement area, they would want to, they would be the ones who would have to be consulted. So why don't we do that first? Ridgeway and Bridgeburg BIAs can get together, and then what comes out of that can go to staff. Okay. Any other items? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Regarding the Ridgeway by the Lake landscape plans, and I'm going to use my cheat sheet provided by the clerk, I'd like to raise that issue tonight. And
okay. Before you go further, that deals with Blythewood. Ridgeway by the Lake, that's Blythewood. I'm only asking because Councillor Butler had raised a pecuniary interest with respect to a bylaw relative to Blythewood.
Is it Blythewood? Because, okay, yeah, Mr. Brady's shaking his head yes, so I'll allow Councillor Butler the opportunity
You want to declare a conflict with respect to this? This is a Councillor Passero is going to raise a new issue with respect to Blythewood, with respect to landscaping that we dealt with at the last
Counseling Committee
meeting. So,
yes, I will declare another conflict for Blythewood, and that our relationship is a business relationship.
Okay. Please proceed, Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. So in order to get this ball rolling, I would be looking for a seconder for a motion to waive Council's rules of procedure to dispense with notice to permit a reconsideration motion of a Council and Committee motion that was defeated at the December 5th, 2016 meeting. Well, Councillor Zanko would be my seconder.
Okay, Councillor Zanko has seconded that. Are there any questions or comments with respect to the motion to waive the rules? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship. So as a member who voted on the prevailing side in the defeat of that report, I would like to bring it back and put forward a motion for reconsideration at this time. And I would need a seconder for that
seconder motion. Seconder, Councillor Zanko? Okay. That's on the floor. Did you wish to speak to that, Councillor Passero?
If I could, because there is a couple of amendments I'd like to make as well. We did have an opportunity, the mayor and myself, to meet with Mr. Mills to discuss what we believe to be council's concerns in the defeat of the motion, and we did reach what I think is a very good compromise, and that would be that we release the developer from the landscape plan, save and accept the properties where residents have stated their desire to have the works done. Secondly, a letter would be sent to the 18 properties who did not respond one way or another, wording to be determined by the planning staff, stating that should they wish to have the works completed on their property, they're to notify planning staff prior to June 1st, 2017, and the developer will complete these works prior to October 1st, 2017, and that all monies held as security on the proposed landscape plan be returned to the developer, save and accept $20,000, which is estimated the funds necessary to complete the works on the 18 properties identified, and that those funds will be returned once works are completed and or no requests come forward for the works to be completed. So that was the compromise that we had reached during our meeting. So I'd ask for comments from Mr. Brady as to what could also be included or tightened up.
Mr. Brady. I think compromise that you and the mayor reached with Blythewood Homes seems to deal with the issues that were raised at that meeting. I would ask, if at all possible, if you could provide me just one piece of clarification. And there's a letter to go out to this number. I can't remember the exact number of property owners. Would you prefer that letter to be sent by planning staff, or is it to be sent by the developer? I'm in your hands, but if you ask for a preference, I would prefer it to be by planning staff.
I will see to that and have planning staff, and I think that only makes sense because we'd be asking that planning staff be the recipient of any responses as well.
So then, Councilor Passero, I wonder if you could then read the resolution as you now have it.
My iPad has no electricity left, but and I don't have at my fingertips the original.
Okay,
resolution.
So just hold on.
Madam Clerk is waving vigorously. Could we put that on the floor and then make an amendment, Your Worship?
So the original resolution was that Council approves the changes to the landscape plans for the Ridgeway by the Lake subdivision phase 1 and 2 as outlined in report PDS 109-2016. That is the motion that you wish us to reconsider. We have to vote on the reconsideration.
That motion became on the floor when your vote to reconsider was carried. So that automatically is pending. Now you're amending it.
We moved to waive the rules so that we could reconsider this. I don't recall voting on the...
You voted on the motion to reconsider it. That carried. Now the motion is pending that was lost at the last meeting.
Right. So now that can be amended by Councillor Passero's additional provisions.
That's correct, Your Worship.
Okay. So would you like to read the amendment?
So the amendment would be that we release them from everything save and except the properties identified where residents have stated the desire to have the works completed. Planning staff will send a letter to the 18 properties identified as not having responded to the original request, wording to be confirmed by planning staff, but paraphrasing that should the resident wish to have the works completed on their property as identified in the original plan, they are to notify planning staff prior to June 1st, 2017. Any residents wishing for the works to be completed, the developer will complete these works prior to October 1st, 2017. All monies currently held as a security on the originally proposed landscape plan will be returned to the developer, save and except $20,000, which is estimated as the funds necessary to complete the works on the 18 properties. And finally, these funds will be returned once works are completed and or no requests come forward for the works to be completed.
Everybody clear on that? Consistent with the information we were previously provided. And you're clear, Madam Clerk?
Not entirely, Your Worship. The motion was to approve the landscape plan, so I'm getting a little lost in the amendment on what we're doing with that approval of the landscape plan.
So the essence of this is that there were 18 property owners who did not respond. They're going to be given an opportunity through correspondence from the town to advise whether they are content that they not have any trees or that they do wish to have their plantings installed. And since it's now confined to the number of trees and shrubs on those properties, there's going to be a release of some of the security that the developer has provided to the municipality with respect to the landscape plan. The time frame within which the 18 property owners have to respond has been specified as, did you say June? June the 1st. And if nothing has been heard from them by that date, then the developer will have been considered to have complied with the landscaping plan. Something of that nature. Okay. Any further questions or comments on this? All those in favor of the amendment? Okay. And then all those in favor of the resolution as amended? That is carried. Both are carried. Thank you very much, Councillor Passero. Are there any other items of new business or inquiries? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just two more. Firstly, the request by Dominion Repertory Theater tonight, will that automatically be advanced for budget consideration, or do we need to formally request that that be included for our consideration?
Then a formal request. Councilor Passero would...
So I'd like to put forward that their $7,500 request be included for consideration in our budget deliberations.
So that will be referred to the budget committee for the operating budget. Madam Clerk, so that we can on the floor. So, Councillor Becerra, would you like to move that we waive the rule so that we can deal with this this evening and refer it to the Budget Committee?
Yes, please.
Seconder? Councillor Nutt? Any questions or comments on waiving the rules? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And so the resolution is to move this request to the Budget Committee for consideration in the 2017 budget. Was there a seconder for that? Councillor Zanko? Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And Councillor Becerra, you said you had another item.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Lastly, and I don't know why it's always when winter sets in that I start to get these questions, but I'm wondering if planning staff could circulate a memo to myself and council regarding chickens. I every year I get questions about where and where not people are allowed to have chickens. Apparently this is the newest and greatest phase for people to have farm fresh eggs in their backyard, and there seems to be some discrepancy or some confusion on some residents as to whether or not we do allow this in residential areas, a certain number of chickens, if it's only in agricultural areas. So I'm just hoping that staff could maybe clear up this issue for me at a future council meeting, or if Mr. Brady has the egg at his fingertips right now, I would take that information.
Mr. Brady?
We'll certainly be happy to put together a memo for you on where chickens can be raised, as well as if there are any number requirements. Are you sure you don't want to add turkeys as well?
Let's just go with chickens for now. Okay. Any other items of new business or inquiries? If not, then are there any notices of motion? Sorry. There's a motion on the floor, Councillor Nutt. You have a motion previously provided notice to us.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, whereas the Council of the Town of Fort Erie recognizes the need to respond positively to local residents' concerns about speeding traffic and to achieve a better balance between the desire of the local residents to reduce traffic speeds and the guidelines set out by the Province of Ontario. And whereas Section 128, Subsection 2 of the Highway Traffic Act, RSO 1990, Chapter H.8 allows a council or of a municipality to prescribe by way of bylaw the rate of speed set out in Subsection 1 that is not greater than 80 kilometers per hour for motor vehicles driven on a roadway or a portion of a roadway under its jurisdiction. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie enacts as follows. The speed limit for motor vehicles traveling on a roadway described below be reduced to 70 kilometers per hour, and that signs be posted in a conspicuous place at each section of roadway identifying the new posted speed limit from Four Point Abano Road between King's Highway number 3 and Regional Road 21.
Thank you. Did you wish to speak to that?
Yes, I do.
Please do.
In light of the last report being done on this road, I found out that it's actually older than first thought after conferring with Mr. Walsh, and I would like to move to postpone this motion until June 2017, the last
regular council
meeting. Yeah, last regular council meeting in June 2017, to allow a proper traffic study to be done, considering that the last one was more than 14 years old for this road, as the road may need other engineering requirements as well. And I think that we need to take a step back at this moment to gather further data.
During that period of time, is it anticipated that there will be a request by town staff of the regional police to do some enforcement on that road?
I can take that up with Mr. Walsh. He's shaking his head affirmatively.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Do you have a... So your seconder was...
Councillor Zanko.
Councillor Zanko prepared to second the postponement. Okay, so there's no debate on the postponement. We've got a time frame. So it'll be the regular council meeting in June. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Thank you, Councillor Nutt. Are there any notices of motion? And that takes us to consideration of bylaws. And Councillor Zanko, I wonder if you could proceed with the reading, first and second reading of the bylaw package without 140. 140 and 142. Please proceed.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw package containing 137-2016 to authorize the execution of a subdivision agreement with 800-547 Ontario Limited, Ed Lachishan, Village Creek Phase 3, Stage 1, 138-2016 to authorize a lease agreement with SBA Canada, ULC, for a telecommunications tower at 1818 Pettit Road, Gibson Center, 139-2016 to approve the execution of a memorandum of understanding between the Regional Municipality of Niagara and Crime Stoppers of Niagara, Inc., a legal dumping reward initiative, 141-2016 to deem a certain registered plan of subdivision not to be a registered plan of subdivision, Winifred Swam, 3880 Victoria Avenue, 143-2016 to establish the Transit Advisory Committee and approve its terms of reference, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. Are there any questions or comments with respect to the reports remaining in the council package, the bylaw package? If not, then Councillor Butler, would you proceed with third and final reading for the amended package, please?
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaws number 137-2016, 138-2016, 139-2016, 141-2016, 143-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? If not, all those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. Councillor Zanko, back to you for first and second reading for bylaw 142, please.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw package containing 142-2016 to exempt certain lots in Plan 59M-418 from part lot control, Ridgeway by the Lake subdivision, Phase 3, 53, 57, and 61 Butler's Drive, Blythewood Homes, Inc.
All those in favor? All those in favor of first and second reading? Okay. Can't vote. Right. Okay. Councillor Nutt? Okay.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaws 140-2016 and 142-2016 are given third and final reading and signed by the Mayor and the Clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to bylaw 142? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. So, Councillor Basiro, you've been left out on all of the moving and seconding with respect to this, so I wonder if I could hand the chair to you for the first and second reading of bylaw 140, which Councillor Zanko would have, and third and final reading of that bylaw, which Councillor Nutt still has.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw package containing 140-2016 to authorize the sale of lands on the north side of industrial lands to Peninsula Plastics Limited, Part Lot 5, Concession to Niagara River, Birdie, being Parts 3 and 5, 59R-7798, be given first and second reading.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I was confused there slightly. I got a someone sent me a message that said now that there's a KFC in Ward 2, I want to know where all the chickens are. Comments or questions on first to second reading? Seeing none, all those in favor? That's carried. Third and final reading, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw 140-2016 16 are given third and final reading and signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Thank you, Councillor Knott. Comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? That carries. I'll turn the chair back to his worship.
Thank you, Councillor Becerra. Councillor McDermott, do you have resolution number 14? Councillor Butler, have that. Proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 144-2016 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on December 12, 2016 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor McDermott, you have the next resolution.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 144-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Scheduling of meetings. Any meetings? Councillor Knott?
Thank you, Your Worship. On December 18th, Councillor Butt and I will be attending the Navy League dinner. And Councillor McDermott, I believe.
Be there too.
And His Worship.
So we'll have a quorum. Okay, that could be problematic, but I'm going to be in and out. So when I'm there, somebody else has to leave and then they can come back when I leave. Okay, as long as it's not too cold out. Any other meetings? If not, then Councillor Zanko, you have a resolution for us to move into closed session.
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Becerra, that Council does now go into closed sessions at 7:48 p.m. to discuss the following. Property matter pursuant to Section 239(2)(c) of the Municipal Act 2001, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of lands by the municipality or local board.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? Okay, we'll go into closed session. Okay, we're back in open session. Councillor Becerra, you have a resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, the Council does now rise and reconvene from closed session at 8:10 p.m. with report that staff proceed as directed.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, the Council adjourns at 8:10 p.m. to reconvene into a regular meeting of Council on January 23rd, 2017.
Before I call the vote, I want to wish all of my colleagues on Council a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Thank you. All those in favor of the resolution? That is unanimous. Thank you.